Welcome to The Standard. The Standard is on a mission to champion the pursuit of excellence and fight against the celebration of mediocrity. For those who refuse to lower their standards, for those who can't raise their own, this is The Standard. For fitness, for family, for life.
You know, we were talking about retention.
Yeah,
within an organization. Yeah, anywhere, right?
Oh, okay.
It's, I mean, great resignation, right? Just happened. People just, loyalty's not there. I was actually talking to just a guy I met where my wife works, you know, boarding horses. And he's like a retired HVAC guy. You know, so we got in the whole like trades versus college conversation. And he inevitably said, you know, one of the hardest things before I retired was keeping good ones around, you know, because now it's like you get a good one that's working for you, and he's like, you pay him, you want to keep him, because the majority of people that upon first meet that want to work for you are asking, you know, when do I get paid? And he's like, they're on their phones all day. You know, when you ask them to actually do something, you get minimal uptick in output, but not what you want. It's like, it's either there or it isn't. There's not really any motivating a boss can do, at least, you know, with what he was dealing with. And then one of the biggest things he said was, you know, I get these people in here and they want to, well, I want to make what you make.
You know, the boss.
Yeah. Why do you get to make $45, $50 an hour and I'm making 15 to 20? It's like, well, okay. So you used an example of like, oh, I'm installing this boiler, you know, it's so much BTUs. What size of pipe do you need? And the worker responds, well, I don't know. It's like, well, that's why they pay me $45 to $50. And you'll be there eventually. But retention goes back to retention.
Have you seen that? It's Ben Shapiro. Do you listen to any of his stuff?
A little bit.
All right. So he is at this college and he's basically having a very similar conversation to this with one of the students. And the student says, I think they were using, and we'll post this on the Patreon. They're talking about a pencil factory. And the student is basically like, you wouldn't have a pencil if it wasn't for the worker. So why are you making so much money and I'm making much less? And his question or his response, and he's going to say it much more eloquently, which is why I'll post it in here. But I take all the risk, right? So same thing with the HVAC guy, right? He holds the insurance. He bought the trucks. He, you know, he has the lion's share of the risk. The person who is working there has no risk.
Well, but also the years of risk and the years of...
Yeah, it all adds up.
Yeah. Why do you think we have such a tough time seeing that other side? You know, I see it. So when we see somebody that's a boss, it's like, well, they're putting their time.
Let's take us, okay? Right? You're my captain. You make a substantial amount more money than I do, okay? When we get to a structure fire and you're not in command, we basically are doing a very similar job, right? Tactile, doing the work, right?
We're just another number on the fire ground completing a task.
100%.
Yeah.
So, okay, why are you making more money than I am?
Because if something goes wrong,
it's your fucking ass, man. Yeah. You have to make the decisions. When something goes down in the firehouse, it all comes back to you. So I think if you look at this, what are all the things I'm responsible for? Not what are you responsible for 90% of the time?
Or not what are you doing on a daily basis that I'm doing too? Well, it's more than that. It's not just these tasks that are, you know, seen every day.
It's
much more than that.
It's when you're off duty staffing. It's, you know, it's so much more involved. But if you were an outsider looking in and you see four guys show up on a fire truck, well, why is that person making...
A lot of it has to do with, too, the main problem we're talking about here, right, is not understanding that it takes time to get in certain positions and you just can't have it, you know, like that. It's the culture we're in, too, right? You get instant results. You search something, boom, you're there. You order on Amazon, boom, it's there. You get whatever you want, so to speak, from a media standpoint, right away. Feedback, right away. Instant communication. But still, in the job market and the economy, it doesn't work that way, right? And so that's a hard, I guess, delineation for, that's the hypothesis I'm going with, is this, we're not making the delineation between the two. We're not separating the two. So we have a tough time understanding that it ain't like this instant gratification world in the real world of business.
Oh, it reminds me of Christmas Vacation when he's like, yeah, he's holding off for a management position. Like, I have one of my closest friends ever has a master's degree in finance, and he's never worked at all because he's like, well, I'm not going to be some analyst making no money at all. Like, his self-worth is higher than his actual worth.
Another good example that just came to mind is, you know, we have a good friend, Ben, who's in the mortgage business. Yeah. And he's had an assistant working for him. You know, this assistant was relatively new, retired guy from another profession, but relatively new to the mortgage industry. And, you know, he's paying him a healthy salary to kind of be his assistant. Certainly not a six-figure salary. I'm sure there was opportunity there, you know, depending on the volume, but, you know, to learn the ropes, you know, more or less like an apprentice, right? But you're still making pretty good money. Ben takes the risk that he's got to cover this guy's salary, so he's still got to make money. But in the end, guy ended up walking at one point because he just didn't feel like, he's like, well, I'm doing the same job you are. And of course, I beat Ben to his response of, so when what happened to me a month ago where a buyer walks off a purchase of your house and you have to redo all your financing within a week to keep both deals alive, absolutely no way this guy could have made it happen.
No.
Knowing programs, knowing interest rates, knowing qualifications, having history as a loan originator, you know, processor, whatever, all that. Guys in his 50s, and you know, this assistant's in his 50s and still failed to see that, well, there's a reason I'm making, you know, I've done this for 15, 20 years and all my business is on referrals. You weren't there those 15 or 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
So it's almost like, well, you know what? Go out on your own.
Good luck.
See ya.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's so much a money thing with the Great Recession or the Great Resignation. I think that people value their time more now, and they're refusing to do menial jobs. Because when you look at the statistics of the jobs that are open right now, really high level jobs are still in like incredible demand. Like, it's still hard to get those jobs. Whereas your lower level menial jobs, they're, take your pick. This episode is brought to you by us. More importantly, our Patreon. And most importantly, our Patreon members. If you like what you're hearing, think about joining us. Head on over to the-standard.us. And for as little as $3 a month, you can get extra episodes, discounts on gear, monthly conference calls. So head on over to our site at the-standard.us. And remember to always like and subscribe. Back to the show. You drive down the street, there's help wanted signs absolutely everywhere. And so I think it might not be the money so much. Like, if you raise the, say, McDonald's fry worker, right? Let's say they're making 50 grand a year, which I think might be, you know, possible. Let's say you raise it to 60 or 70. Nobody's still going to want to do that job because it sucks, regardless of how much money you make. So there is something to the people want to feel impassioned.
So when I'm talking to this HVAC guy,
yeah,
tell me, this is another statement he made. He said, you know, when you and I were, you know, younger, everybody wanted to work. We all wanted to work. We were lining up for these jobs. And speaking of like trades and labor jobs.
Yeah.
Firefighting is a labor job, right?
Yeah.
And we're seeing the same thing, right? 15, 20 years ago, people were lining up. Now we can't get enough. Now, so to speak, quote, nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to line up for these jobs. So are they bad jobs? No, neither of these examples are bad jobs, but they are labor intensive.
Yeah. I worked the trades before I got in the fire service. Job's tough, man. Like, it's a hard job. And if you don't love that hard work, like, I love the fire service. It's hard. But, you know, I took like a $30,000 pay cut to go from one department to the next. And to me, that was totally worth it because I wanted to be a part of that organization. And I think people just haven't been exposed to those certain types of work to know if they even like them. You know, they go right from high school, right into college. They get into a massive amount of debt following something that they may not have a fucking marketing degree or, you know, a business degree that they're not passionate about. Who knows? They could absolutely love being a mechanic, or they could love being an HVAC guy, you know, figuring out these problems. There's so many dynamic parts to labor jobs that people don't even get a chance to know if they like or not.
What do you think about that Mike Rowe comparison where he takes, you know, two guys, 18, 20 years old, whatever. One enters college, 4 years of schooling, comes out, $150,000 in debt, and you're making an average salary of $40,000 to $50,000. Or spend the same 4 years, go be an apprentice, right, or whatever. No debt, you're working, and now you're making an average of $80,000 a year. With trades these days, there's really not a ceiling. I mean, if you're, you know,
yeah,
you can expand, good. You can get more jobs, you can hire people, you know, like.
And there's less and less of them. So their costs are going, always going to be going up.
So I know there's a push to get people back into the trades. And the fact is, college isn't as valuable as we make it. It is valuable. It's not as valuable as we've made it the last two or three decades.
I actually don't think it's very valuable. And this is someone who...
Let's talk about that then. So what are some things that make college valuable?
Well, I think you need to go back and look back at why it became valuable. For $50,000, you could go get a four-year degree, come out making that and then some a year. That was the model of higher education. And it was only for specific types of people, right? Not everyone needed to go to college to be successful. And then something happened where these colleges started making a shit ton of money. And they're like,
oh, college is a business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the biggest racket in the world.
Yeah. I mean, from athletics to scholastic, it's a huge business.
Yeah. Well, it's the only debt on earth that will never be forgiven.
That is where you're wrong.
Because, what are you talking about?
Oh, it's being forgiven as we speak.
For some people.
A lot of people.
It's not, but the majority of people with student loans will die with them.
Yeah.
I mean, the same amount of people who are getting their loans forgiven are getting money taken away from their Social Security to pay off those student loans. God. So it's not worth it for a lot of people. But my high school that I went to was in an affluent area, and somewhere in the 90 percentile of people went to college at my high school. So it wasn't a question of like if you were going to go, it was where you were going to go. And yeah, you think that you're a total failure if you don't go and get a college degree.
Well, I mean, honestly, monetarily speaking, yeah, I would agree with you on college does not determine the type of job you'll get. Now, when we're talking like doctors and stuff like that, of course, you know, lawyers.
There are people who...
But I mean...
You have to go and get a college.
I came out of high school. Let's see, I've been in the fire service for 15 so odd years and promoted to captain, but out of high school, I didn't have a college degree, right? I was fresh out of high school. And just this year, I've now made as much as I made annually as an 18-year-old. I didn't have a degree then. You know?
Yeah, man. I mean... I don't have a degree.
Yeah.
And I just... My buddy with a master's, I'm making way more then.
Mm, yeah.
And so,
I've heard too many stories about that.
Well, yeah.
Especially teachers, you know?
Dude, teachers get...
Like teachers with master's degrees. I mean, unless you're an administrator... Or you become like superintendent of schools or something. You are not That's not fun for all the time you put in. I mean, you're doing it for the passion. You're doing it for the kids.
Yeah, but that shit goes away, man.
For some. I mean, I think of one teacher I had in high school, and man, 40 years, she did it for the kids. She was great.
Yeah.
And, of course, my mom was a teacher for over 30 years. But it's a struggle, man.
That's something that should get subsidized. You want to pass out some subsidies to people, teachers should be up there. But when it comes to higher education, I just don't think that unless you want to be, like you said, doctor, lawyer, scientist.
You know what is I'll tell you what is valuable. I do think like those first few years, year and a half of college courses, the prereqs, the English 101s, stuff like that. That's actually, I think, is pretty important. You can tell, there's two things. You can tell a difference in somebody that I feel like has some sort of higher education in writing and reading. I think that's beneficial in any.
But you don't need college for that.
No, and you could audit those classes, to be honest. Honestly, you could get all that. You're right. You could get all that by reading books, because when you read books, you see these words, you see sentence structure, stuff like that.
Take a look. Have you ever used the Khan Academy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so,
all there. It's all free. Yeah.
So I think it's the people who want to have access to that. It's there. It's free. You don't need to have a degree behind it. But there's so many people are still incentivized to go to college. And I think you would be better off picking something that you want to get really good at. And
I think there's a benefit to building good study habits because there is
a. I don't think college does that.
I would disagree. Maybe more personal experience then. I don't know. I would disagree with that because I feel like studying for and passing exams in college is way different than high school. High school doesn't, I mean, in college, it's like you have four tests and they're, you know, once every 4 to 5 weeks throughout the semester and that's your grade. There's no extra credit. There's no, you know, redo your homework there, you know.
Yeah, but
you can fail all the major tests in a high school class. But you can turn in all your homework and you can be present in every class and you could stay after school and help the teacher do something. And now you've got a high B.
But that is not because of the institution. That is because of the person behind me. I went to University of Iowa. I know I've been through that, like, hey, this is what you have to do. It didn't help with my study habits. It made me cram. And, you know, like, I think it's up to, like, you. I think you've always had a drive to be not just passing, but be successful. And so that has more to do with you than it does the institution. And there are other ways to figure that out on how to do that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because you've still got all these contractors and tradesmen that are passing these tests the same type of, I guess, atmosphere we take a test in for. You know,
you gotta do that to be a master EMT, electrician,
right.
A master
plumber.
You
sit down at a computer and it's the same thing. You're studying a book. So it's just, yeah, you make a good point there. I mean, so then why are we going to school?
Oh, I think it's just, because our parents were like, hey, if you want to be successful, you have to go to college. Instead of, you don't have to go to college to be successful. And I know this with our kids, is that when my kids who are almost 3 and 1, either college is going to be free or it's going to be $1 million. Like,
are you going to go either way?
No, I hope they don't.
What do you want them to do?
Whatever they want to do for free. I mean, honestly, right? Like those things. And let's take the podcast, for example. How many hours have you spent on chat rooms and YouTube movies trying to figure this whole thing out?
Too many.
Well, but it's like,
I know
that is what we're passionate. No one, there's no class for this. There's no like, hey, I need a podcast set up. Sure. You can go to Amazon and they sell some mics but everything inside this room right now, like, or, hey, I want to learn how to edit podcasts.
Yeah.
There's no like,
well, colleges are trying to create.
Yeah, because, you know, they want someone to pay
100%.
You know, $50,000 a year that's one class.
Right. So then there became a graphic design degree, but all the original graphic designers self-taught.
And I think some of the best, you know, let's take graphic design. If you want to be a graphic designer, this is just my opinion. It makes more sense to either intern with one already, and you're spending 8 hours a day at minimum at that thing you're trying to do. If you go to college to be a graphic designer, you might not touch a graphic design class for the first 2 years.
Yeah, and then the last few years are not necessarily geared to what your niche is.
Yeah, you could go and be like, oh, dude, I've spent...
And you're paying for that.
Yeah, I spent 2 months as a intern at a graphic design place. This is not what I thought it was. Check. Now I know I don't want to do that anymore. Let's try. Ooh, but I think this could be cool over here. I just think that's a better way to go. There's so much information out there. Anything you want to know and anything you want to learn that you can do for free.
Yeah, you could figure yourself out a lot by just kind of dabbling here and there rather than maybe going to college. I mean, the experience, though, I mean, that is one thing.
Pretty awesome, right?
Experience is one thing you can't replace, but I also think that potentially that is oversold.
I don't know.
It was a great experience. I'm glad I did it, and I wouldn't do it any differently. Like, I loved it.
Yeah.
But I think it can be oversold.
I did both. I went to University of Iowa, and then I left. And there is this thing in the back of your head that makes you feel like you missed out.
Is that but that's only because your friends are experiencing it.
Yeah, totally.
Right. So, but then when you turn 27, 28, and you're all in the same kind of job market, does it really matter? It's just that time in your life, you know, you feel like you're missing out.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson talks about this, and he says that you're an adult for the majority of your life. You'll only be successful when you become an adult. Right. In all aspects, right? You have relationships, you are building a life for yourself, you are creating memories, financially you're becoming more successful. So why waste time being a child? Which there's a extreme to that, right? Like my kids are downstairs playing. I hope they do that for a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to lose that. But at a certain point, let's say 18 years old, It's time. You did your thing. And now it's time to be an adult. And I think college, from my experience, is like this little stepping stone towards adulthood that you don't need.
I'm there with you. Yeah, I would agree with that. But I'm almost 40, and I can look back and say it now. Tough telling a 18 to 20-year-old that, you know.
That is excited about being a part of a fraternity. I mean, going to a college football game, and you have, like, you're in the student section, you're a part of that thing.
It's just pure fun. That's why you feel like you're missing out, too. It is pure fun all the time.
Yeah.
Right? No rules, I mean, there's accountability, but I mean.
Not much.
Once almost Thursday night hits, you know, morning Friday classes, and it's game on.
Yeah.
Through Saturday night.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
And you're paying the bill for that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Right, you don't realize you're paying dearly for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know who's doing a good job of retention? Colleges. 7-8 year guys.
Hey, stay.
They're selling it, right?
Hey, we'll make this a double master's.
It'd be free.
How about this?
You just pay us back later.
Totally.
Just pay us back later.
A little bit of interest.
You don't have to worry about it. Just as long as you're here, don't have to pay anything. We'll just start it later.
Yeah, just keep pushing it off and pushing it off.
You know what you need? You need parents that get it, that hopefully give you a kick in the butt or be like, nah, you don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. You need, not necessarily parents, you need a mentor. You need somebody, hopefully, in your corner.
You need to see successful people without college degrees.
Yeah, preferably younger, too.
Right.
If you can see that younger one and latch onto them, it's like, okay, well, this guy's 25 years old. He's not really talking about how great college is. He's like into his career. He's super passionate. He's having fun. I'll go hang out with him for a couple years and do what he's doing. That might help.
Yeah. You know? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Yeah.